All right, let's turn to 1 John as we're continuing our messages, as some would call expository messages, and John's first epistle. 1 John, in fact, we'll read that chapter. Begin with 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now we can tell in this chapter that the Apostle John was led by the Spirit of God and really knew the needs of mankind. So we want to look at this portion today. If we choose a topic for it, we'll call it Discerning the Spirit of Truth and the Spirit of Error, because he deals with something extremely important, not only in his day, but especially important in our day, so we can see what we face by looking at the Word. Now, John points out that there are two kinds of teachers. He contrasts the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He brings these out. This lets us know that there is a real unseen world. And he's talking about the spirit of error. Well, he speaks of the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So So let's see what he means here by the spirit of error in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Paul writes, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, one thing we can find in the Scripture should answer a lot of questions that we have even today with this terrible situation in our nation. That is, what is it that motivates people to perform that terroristic attack on this nation of all the destruction that has come in this last week? How were they motivated? Who was moved, and how were they moved to such an awful event that took place? So, in that spirit, that is the spirit of error, the spirit world is a satanic struggle, one between the forces of good and the forces of evil. Now, there is a spirit of truth which is of God. That's glorious, isn't it? But there is a spirit of error which is of the devil. So the purpose of God is to confront mankind with truth. When he sent his only begotten Son into the world, he sent the truth, didn't he? Jesus Christ is what? The way, the truth, and the life. So, God changes and directs our life to respond to his infallible truth. So it is the purpose of the devil to confront us with the error, to enslave us. For indeed, there's a great deal of slavery under the devil. So it's possible for someone to be possessed with the Spirit of God and to preach the truth of God. But it's also possible to be possessed with the spirit of error and to preach what is untrue. Well, you see, we're being faced today, especially, it seems, in a real way of the spirit of error. But thanks be to God, it's so encouraging to us to see in some areas that there is that spirit of truth, and we see that it is bearing much fruit to the glory of God. So, let's look at this portion here then in 1 John chapter 4. Here in verse 1, the Word of God here commands us to test what we hear. That is, not just to accept everything that we hear. This is for us to test the spirits, because false prophets have gone out into the world. You say, well, or who has confronted? Have you ever had people to knock at your door and to try to convince you of the religion? When we lived over on Tartan Drive here, where we began to have our meetings, there were two young men, well-dressed, suit and tie, came, knocked on the door one day, introduced themselves as elders. Elders. Well, elders of what? They were Mormons. I thought, well, they're the youngest. I forgot now what I said to them about their age, but they didn't appear. They looked like they were about 18, 20 years old. And, of course, we know they came to actually bring error. They didn't think it was, but it was gross, and we'll see about what kind of error that was. But here, as I said, we are to test to see whether or not there are false prophets, because false prophets have gone out into the world. Let's look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more fair-minded. Now he's talking about those in Berea. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So these Bereans were well grounded in the word. It says they searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so, the things that were being declared. Well, he mentions the Thessalonians. Let's turn over to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 21. Paul says, test all things, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So, you can see why he is advising these people to do that. Now, this is very true today. For many, there are many false prophets out today. Now, for example, what do you suppose is the background for this terroristic attack on the U.S. that happened this last week? What about that? What moved? What is the hatred from those who brought this attack? If you look into the background, it was a religious hatred. It's a religious hatred. We find out throughout the world today. In our lifetime, we've seen a great deal of heresy among the Muslims. Islam is something else. It has created so much hatred against the Christian, and how many people have suffered. Back in the early 50s, I spent, one or two summers at one summer at Winona Lake School of Theology. And one of the courses offered was a mission course by a professor from Philadelphia. Was he from Princeton or where? I forgot now where he was from. But he was a former missionary to Iran, what was back in those days Persia. And one thing about it, he'd been there for 25 years and he gave us the truth concerning Islam. And he gave us many illustrations of how that it attacked and took the lives of people. And it still is. The recent news is like what has happened around the various parts of the world in Africa and even over in the Philippines. It's really stirred our hearts. We've known them to kill people as well as just to bring them into hostage. I think I told you about that incident some years ago where there was a young missionary down on the island of Mindanao in the Philippines sitting out under a tree one day studying the language so he could get well grounded in communicating the word of God, and one of these Muslims slipped up behind him with a pistol and shoots him in the back of the head and kills him. And then I think I told you too about that church down in Mindanao, a Baptist church where the pastor was preaching one Sunday morning, and a Muslim came in the door just like he was coming into the meeting. He walked up the side inside of a building, came around back behind the pastor in the pulpit and got up behind him. The pastor just kept on preaching. He didn't realize what was going to happen. This Muslim pulled out a pistol and shot the pastor in the back of the head, killed him right in front of the congregation. So here we see this is the gross heresy and what it produces. And so it's obvious that there are false prophets. There are many false prophets in the world today. Verse 5 of 1 John 4 says, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. People, there are people that respond to this heresy because it has such a worldly nature, and it appeals to the old flesh of man. And then, over in the book of Jude there, in verse 4 we read, Jude says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's see what the Lord Jesus says about this back in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, in verse 15 we read, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And then turn on over to Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at a couple of verses there. Jesus said in verse 11 here, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And then in verse 24 he says, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So, you see what John is trying to communicate here in his epistle. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Oh, put them to test? Yes. He says, test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He's saying, then don't just accept everything you hear. And so, nowadays, we see that there are some of these cults, false religions, some called Jehovah's Witnesses, but I don't like to call them that. Jehovah doesn't have any false witnesses. And they're all kinds. My, how many cults there are today. And they're convincing lots of people to follow them because the people do not know the truth. So the test of the spirit of truth is what is being taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So here is a test. How are you going to know whether or not there's a spirit of truth or the spirit of error? Well, the test is, where are they in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Jesus is Savior and Christ as the anointed of God. Now, there are some that have an idea about Jesus, but he's just an ordinary man. Anyway, they say he died, you know. They look back at that and think that that was the end of it. So, here he says in verse 3 then, this exposes the false teachers who deny the deity of Christ. Notice verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Yes, there was prophecy of the coming of the Antichrist. You say, well, who is an Antichrist? Well, say an anti is against. Yes, or one who opposes the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So the children of God overcome the false teachers by the knowledge of the Word of God and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As he refers to the people, you are of God, little children. Now, who's John talking about? Little children? He's talking about the children of God. Not only just little, real small children, as we would think about, but this would include all the children of God. And so, there are those that he points out have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's the blessedness of the Holy Spirit, which God has given to all who are born again. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, how thankful we are for him as he dwells in us and is such a great help to us. Now he says, verse 5, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Wow. Now, some of the false prophets appeal to the masses of people. Now, he is popular in the world. It's amazing. That's the thing that it is amazing in a way. How can such great multitudes follow these false prophets and these false teachers? How is it? Well, what they offer is of the world, and those of the world like it. It appeals to them. And so, the world recognizes its own because the false prophet teaches the things that the world wants to hear. This is what they like. It's amazing how many out there in the cults do not want to hear that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh and that Jesus Christ is God. Now, they deny that. The false prophets are hostile toward the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how that the cults, many of them, are so strongly opposed to the Christians, to the true Word of God. I think I told you about an experience we had in the Philippines. We'd just been there, I don't know, maybe a month or two. Wasn't when we'd read the newspaper there where that up on Luzon, just above us, about 50 miles to the north of Manila, there was a preacher up there holding a meeting, and some fellow there from one of the cults, though they call themselves the church. As a matter of fact, they refer to himself as Anglican de Cristo ni Manalo. That is, a church of Christ of Manalo. Manalo was the founder. And what did this guy do? He was one of their preachers. But because of the way that this other preacher had been presenting Jesus Christ as Savior, he jumped onto this guy, pulled out a pistol and shot this preacher, hit him right in the leg and brought him down. And that was kind of frightful in a way. And it also stirred me one time, a few months after that, when I was out in one of the Quezon City Institute there where we were holding some meetings on the Sunday night. We were having quite a number of the people in this institute, which incidentally it wasn't a study place. It was actually a kind of a hospital. The people there were, most of them there were patients of TB. TB was the number one death disease over there at that time. And so it was quite a number there that night. I suspect it's more than the number stands here right now. And when I was preaching the gospel on Jesus Christ, one fellow jumps up and challenges me at what I was saying about Jesus Christ. And he didn't threaten me, but he said, we want to get together again. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? And so the next time we got together, I was glad about that because at least he didn't have a gun. I was able to continue on the ministry of the word at that particular place. So, verse 6, we see that John says, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. And he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, John refers to himself and all the apostles here when he says, we are of God. And no doubt he is referring to also to the faithful preachers who proclaim God's word. Now, those who are truly born again love to hear the messages of God's word. Now, you experience that. Isn't the word of God precious? Somehow we just, after many years hearing the word, we just really get hungry for the word. We love to hear it. And, of course, those who are not of God don't care about hearing the word of God. Well, love is the theme of John's message. Well, we're just reading that portion from verse 7 on to through the rest of the chapter. That was the theme. Love is the theme of John's message. Love of God. Not the love of the world, but the true love of God moves people to true devotion to him, and a definite stand for the truth of God. There are many of those religions, especially the cults, that are not all that concerned about the true word of God. They have a strong stand on some books that were written by the founders of that cult. I'm not going to go through all that to relate all those cults, but we know that they deny the deity of Christ, and one of the reasons is they have denied the truth of the Word of God. What does the Word of God reveal to us? One of the glorious things, as we read in the scriptures earlier today, in Colossians 2:9, it talks about Christ, in him the fullness of God. The fullness of God. God manifested in the flesh. God dwelling in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we, in this world with this great opposition and difficulties, how are we to stand, to hold fast to the truth, and how are we going to respond to the Lord's leading? Well, what is it that will help us to meet up with all these problems? Well, of course, you say it's the knowledge of God's word, but there's one important thing for us, and that is love. That's what John is saying. Notice after he's bringing out this truth concerning the false teachers and so on, and how important love is. So, God so loved the world, didn't he? Notice John says in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So, those who know the Lord know what love really is. He says, love is of God, for God is love. Love is the very nature of God. And God gives love to those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Love is very important to him. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the coming in, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit brought into us the love of God. Not just a natural love, the love of God. So we are exhorted, therefore, to love one another. True love, as he points out, is evidence that the believer is born again. Here's another test. Now, he showed us how to test the false teachers, how to test the teachers. What was their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Did they make a stand for the deity of Christ? Okay, and so now, what about love? What is the test of it? Test whether or not a person is loved, because, well, if he's born again, love is the evidence of a believer. And so, the absence of love is evidence that a person doesn't know God, as we read there. He who does not love does not know God. God is love. So, an intimate relationship with God will produce love. And in verse 9 through 11 there, he really says, here we see the evidence of God's love. Notice that in verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, did we love God to begin with? No. God, who loved mankind and revealed his love in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, here we see the evidence of God's love, as we see the propitiation for our sin. That is, Christ is the substitute for us, but also he's the satisfaction of God for us. Our satisfaction too, but the satisfaction of God. He meets the need before God the Father in his atoning sacrifice for sinners. And in verse 12 we see that God is made known to the world through the Lord Jesus. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Is love has been perfected in us? Yes. It is the love of God that enables believers to reach out to people in their need for Christ. And, you know, some people look upon missionaries as a weird bunch of leaving the United States, such a lovely place and with the lovely people, and going to some foreign country and going through difficulties. Like, I don't know, I wish I'd kept the article that appeared in, I think it was Newsweek or one of those magazines, you know, when those five missionaries were martyred down in Ecuador. They were kind of criticized, like, oh, those fellows must have been very weird. Why did they go down in a place like that? and die as they did. Like, oh, that was crazy for them to do something. Well, it was an awful thing to happen. But why did they do that? They were taking the gospel. But the world looks upon that, oh, that's crazy. People shouldn't do that. Of course, they don't understand really about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. What did it cost him? So, the love of the Lord helps to respond to him. When he told us, Jesus told the apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world. The story is told of a missionary to the Navajo Indians years ago. One of the missionaries came upon a very ill Navajo woman who had been deserted by her tribe. When she was sick, her tribe threw her out and left her in the brush to die. And this missionary found her, and he took her in, and the kind of compassionate Christian doctor nursed her back to physical health. And she said, when my people threw me out, why did you take me in? They couldn't figure that. She was seeing such a difference. If my tribal people threw me out, then why did you take me in? Because they ministered to her and helped her to get health back into shape again. And so they told her that it was because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, she didn't know about him. They explained to her about the love of Christ and what Christ did and how he revealed his love to mankind by giving his life and so on. And they explained the gospel, and she was so moved that she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she was not going to go back to her tribe because they had gotten rid of her. I don't know if she ever went back or not. But that was a tremendous thing to endure. So, it's through the Holy Spirit that we remain in union with the ever-living Christ. And he is with us, as we've been reading there. It is through his inward witness, then, that we receive the power to bear witness in turn. Let's look back at John's Gospel again in chapter 15. Here, this tells us some glorious truth here. John chapter 15 and verse 26. Jesus said, but when the Helper comes, whom shall I send to you from the Father? The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So here the Lord Jesus is explaining to the apostles, the disciples there. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Helper, when he comes. Says, whom I shall send you from the Father. He said, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. What is he going to do? What will the Holy Spirit do to them and to the believers? He says, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Now, we were talking a while ago about the Holy Spirit who came in to bring about the new birth to the believer. And what does the Holy Spirit bring to? Love. And what will that love produce? It'll produce a witness of the Lord to the Lord Jesus Christ, a testimony of the greatness of his love, like that missionary of the Navajo Indians that I mentioned a while ago. That was the testimony of his love. So, in view of all the problems that John has shown us in dealing with the false prophets, false teaching and so on, and how to test them. Tells us how to do that, to take a definite stand for the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, love for him, and, he says, love one another. love one another. So what will this love produce? Well, what did the love produce in the life of the Lord Jesus? He loved us and what? Gave himself up for us. Well, say, well, what might that do to us? Well, whatever, we shouldn't worry about that. We carry out the Lord's work, move in the direction of the Holy Spirit. May the love move in us and through us, and may there be a good witness in the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that we'll live to his glory and praise. A true witness and testimony of the Lord. Now, Father in heaven, how we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a demonstration of all of mankind's needs, that he is indeed the truth and our Savior. And he's an illustration of the true divine love, the love of God. Holy Father, we pray that you'll help us to stand firm on your word, realizing, understanding more and more of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory, and that we'll be willing to bear a testimony to all, even when false teachers come, that we would be willing to bear witness and testimony to them, and not to yield to their teaching. So we do pray, our Father, that your love will truly move us to love one another, to truly love and reach out unto others. So we thank you for your precious word to help us to understand and to obey to your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.